Hello, and welcome to another Jay's Politics Blog Podcast, part of the Podcast 99.9. So, I'm Jay, being Cinco de Mayo, thought I'd say Happy Cinco de Mayo Day, knowing fully well that it is not the Mexican Independence Day. I've known that for years now. But yet, I still ask people what they think it means, and for some reason in 2018, we still think it's the Mexican Independence Day. It is not. It is the battle over the French. Go look it up. This is a politics show, not a history show today. Well, I might delve into a little bit of history a little bit, but you know, the whole point of this is really for politics purposes and just kind of let people know what I think and whatnot. So today I wanted to talk about a couple things. Investigations into representatives' behaviors. One here locally in Washington for representative for the Tacoma area, and also one nationally, actually out of California. Tony Cardenas. So we're going to start with David Sawyer, representative for Tacoma in the Washington State Legislature. But it's just interesting how we can have these issues of people constantly having problems to be being investigated. I did air quote around issues and investigation. And it baffles my mind. It's like, you know, in this day and age, even before, I would say probably 2005, you knew that when you put something on the internet, it was there forever. Somebody somewhere has a copy of it somewhere. And if anybody says anything about anything to anybody, it's going to show up somewhere. So that be that as it may, I don't think any of these two particular issues don't necessarily have anything to do with online. But it goes to show that you really have to watch what you say, what you do, both in public and out and on the internet. If you do or say anything, in public that where people can now capture photos, where they can now capture video, audio recordings, whatever, with their phones, you're going to end up with a lot of, how do I want to put it? You're going to end up with a lot of evidence against you. Again, I don't think either one of these stories has anything to do with that, but it is what it is. You know, it's just a forewarning that when you see stuff, you know, it's bound to happen. So again, recapping, State Representative David Sawyer, who's a Democrat of Tacoma, Washington, may be stripped of his committee chairmanship based upon investigation findings. Now, they've already conducted the investigation. They just haven't released the findings to the public yet or to the press. This was actually updated earlier today at about 0100, you know. So, yeah. A House panel will decide next week whether to suspend Tacoma Representative Dave Sawyer from his committee chairmanship after preliminary findings from an investigation into his conduct, House Democratic leaders said Friday evening. The independent investigation into Sawyer's behavior is ongoing, but the House leader said in a news release that the inquiry had, quote, confirmed evidence supporting some allegations, end quote, against the Democrat, prompting them to take action. Now, this stems from a story featured in the News Tribune, the Olympian, and Public Radio's Northwest News Network. The eight women accused Sawyer of engaging in behavior before and after he joined the legislature, ranging from inappropriate to harassing. Now, let me start off with saying here that, you know, anytime there's an allegation of abuse, inappropriateness, anything like that against anybody, our first thought should be that the person is innocent until proven guilty. We can't know until all the facts have been presented to us. That being said, if there's anything to the allegations of harassment and things like that, he needs to probably be dismissed from the legislature altogether, not just his committee chairmanship. But that's, you know, that's for more later on in this one, we find out more. The whole point of why I say that is when you hear about these types of behavior from people, when you hear that they're accused of anything, you see immediately on Twitter and Facebook, what a horrible person, you know, lock them up, throw away the key, blah, blah, blah. When you don't have any facts, you just have a report that so-and-so did something egregious. Not even egregious. You just did something what we societally think is wrong. And yes, there's varying degrees of punishment for things like that, but, you know, it's, again, what severity is he guilty of that? Now, what we have is, in our society nowadays, people presume guilty until proven innocent. And even when proven innocent, they still assume guilty. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, in the case of, you know, O.J. Simpson, that he was innocent, even though they was found innocent or whatever. I was in high school at the time and really wasn't paying much attention to it, but paying attention to it. But the whole point is, you know, yes, people can be found innocent or a hung jury, mistrials, things like that, that prevent justice, at least for the time being, depending on the situation. But at the same time, we have lately, ever since, who knows when, print media came out, we've always assumed the worst in people and assumed their guilt, even though our nation's judicial bedrock is founded on the belief that you are innocent until you are proven guilty. I don't know about you, but if I was accused of anything, I would want that same statute applied to me, that same understanding that I am innocent until proven guilty. Because you never know. I mean, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of people locked away for crimes they didn't commit, but because they fit a description, a vague description, because they fit circumstantial evidence at best, you know, like, you once touched that frying pan, so you're the one who beat this person in the head with it, even though you were, you know, across town with somebody who would obviously lie for you, those types of things. I keep saying we have to. I really need to change how I'm saying this, but what needs to be understood here is that not everything is cut and dry as the news media tells us. Not everything is cut and dry as even I would try to tell you. Like I said, in this case, I don't know what happened here. I don't have any of the facts. But the point is that I can't assume, and I should not assume, that he's guilty of any of the conduct that he's been accused of until the investigation is complete and the information is announced. In February, again, the allegations include persistent or suggestive electronic messages, unwanted attention, and comments with sexual overtones. Okay. You're attractive women, and you don't like the fact that he is talking to you. Yes, he should know when you say no, N-O, means no, again, N-O, and leave it at that. I totally understand that. I get that. I respect that, and I agree with you 100%. No means no. There's no ambiguity in that. However, if you start talking with him and play along with the overtones in the messages and whatnot, and then say no, it's a little harder for people to understand when you're being firm, no, or when you're just playing along, oh, no, stop it, you know, in a joking, flirting kind of way, especially on text messages, Facebook, Twitter, anything like that. The point is we want this hard and fast rule that no means no, but yet in moments, in the moment, things change like that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody understands that those things happen, those changes happen. And I'm not trying to be an apologist for any of this. I'm just being a realist about it. People have been in situations where things are going along fine, things are going along great, everything's consensual, and then something happens and bam. One person says no, and all night they might have been saying stuff kind of in a flirty way. But again, if that's the case, if we're going to go with no means no all the time, 100% of the time, every time, then what's the point of playing hard to get? What's the point of any flirtatious activities, whatever? Why bother with it? Why try to evoke an arousal, a spark of love, whatever you want to have. Now, I'm not saying that's this situation. I'm just saying that we have to think about these things when we're talking about social issues and when we're talking about how people act. Now, obviously, Sawyer is going to deny many of the allegations and maintain that he's always acted professionally and legally. The House ordered its investigation into Sawyer's behavior shortly before the story by the three news outlets and was published, and based on unspecified allegations that related to a personal boundary concern. Sawyer was also restricted from working with his staff in the House. The inquiry was later expanded after all additional allegations were made public. A spokesperson for House leaders Friday said that it would not say what the preliminary findings of the investigation are. The Committee on Committees, run by House Democrats, is set to meet Wednesday morning to vote on whether to suspend Sawyer's chairmanship of the House Commerce and Gaming Committee. Democratic leaders in the House recommend he loses his position, at least temporarily, pending the conclusion of the investigation, according to the news release. Okay, let's go over that. You know, that's one of those things. When somebody is accused of something that involves their position, yes, they should be basically booted out on a temporary administrative leave purposes. But again, it's one of those, how do I put it? It's one of those situations where you want to presume the innocence, like I said, you want to presume innocence before guilty. But at the same time, in this day and age, we have to put up a front of public relations. Yes, this person has violated this other person's rights. Therefore, we need to punish him. But we don't know if he's actually guilty of doing it. People sometimes and I'm not saying that's the case with these women that have done this. I'm just saying that sometimes there are people who don't get what they want from somebody who is of note, not necessarily a celebrity, but of note. They feel slighted by them, and they then proceed to decide, oh, well, I'm going to say you did this. And there you go. Now this man is potentially having his career ruined over these allegations. Now, going back to the reality of the situation here, these women obviously have all banded together and made these claims. These claims are sticking to some sense, to some sort. What degree, I don't know. But it's enough that it's warranted the House Democrat Committee, the majority, to decide, yes, we need to we need to get him off of his committee, at least temporarily, till we can figure out what more of what's going on. And I'm sure that if Morris found out that he did actually commit these atrocities, these egregious acts of common sense against common sense, then he would actually end up, you know, losing his position as a representative. That's their thing, you know. That's how do I want to put it? Oh, let's see here. Come on. You know, it's just one of those things. We have to understand what it is we are asking of our elected officials, and we also have to respect the law, and we have to respect the privacy of these people that are being involved in this, people that are actually telling us that they are wanting, or that there's an issue here that they're needed, that needs to be resolved. So, how do we do that? Again, it basically boils down to conducting the investigation and letting the investigation go through as you know, normal. So, in a text message to the News Tribune on Friday, Sawyer said the legislature needs to set an example and not politicize the process and let the investigator finish her job. So that's telling us that the investigator is actually a woman. Fine. More power. I totally think that's fine. As a matter of fact, I think more is likely to come out of it if it's a woman investigating, but at the same time, if a man had done it, you know, and he was found not guilty of anything or there was nothing found, they'd say it's a cover-up. So, I mean, it's like, you want to commend them for having, tripping over my own words here because I'm trying not to offend people, but at the same time, I'm also trying to explain why it's a good thing. Wow. Anyways, long story short, it's great that we're having women get into these things, investigating them and doing a great, thorough job. It also avoids the pretense of a man not finding him guilty or not finding anything on him and then it being called a cover-up later. That's what I'm trying to say, but at the same time, it looks bad by the way I'm presenting it. So let's move forward. House leaders said Friday that the investigation will likely be done at the end of May. Since the allegations became public, there has been a split among Democrats over whether Sawyer should continue to seek re-election this year in 2018. But he has faced growing opposition. A swath of Democratic politicians representing Pierce County have called on him to drop out of the race, including Congressman Denny Heck of Olympia and Derek Kilmer of Gig Harbor, Tacoma Mayor Victoria Woodards, and a handful of state lawmakers, city and county council members. And again, I honestly agree with them that he should probably not seek re-election. I understand that, you know, this will be done before the election is over, but it can be very damaging to him, regardless of whether anything's found out against him or not. You know, we're so quick to jump the gun on everything that, you know, we are thinking, okay, bam, here we go. He's guilty. Let's take care of this. Blah, blah, blah. You should step down, not run for re-election. And I understand that. At the same time, I also think that it is a, I also don't think it's necessarily something that he has to do. I think he should do it. And I think that at least until you can get things settled, because even if he's not, even if there's nothing found, he's already damaged as far as public relations is concerned. But at the same time, if nothing's found and he's dropped out, then he looks like he caved, you know, and it's the balance of the public relations field, I guess, but it's one of those, I want to see the everything being done right by him as well as the accusers. Because again, if it's true, if all this is true, then the accusers are victims and they need to be, you know, represented by the investigation and need to be, you know, he needs to face his crimes or face the repercussions, consequences of his actions, whether they're not whether they're crimes or not. I'm totally for that. But at the same time, what's going to happen to, and again, hypothetical here, say nothing has happened. Say he hasn't done anything wrong. And these women, other than just slight them because he's didn't give them a favorable position or he refused a pay raise or something, whatever the case may be. What's going to happen to these women? He's going to have to go and sue, and then he's going to look like a jerk for it and all this other stuff. But if he doesn't do it, he's going to look like he's caving to them. You know, it's a mess. And honestly, I think that if you're going to accuse somebody, make sure that it actually happened the way it happened. The biggest thing that I can think of is the Duke lacrosse team case, you know, and all those guys' lives were pretty much ruined because of one accusation. How does that? And I don't know what happened to her, what if anything happened to her as far as that, because, you know, things happen when we get drunk. I totally understand. You don't think clearly. It's the whole point of alcohol. But what we have to do, what we need to do as a society is stop looking at the tabloid side of things, the tabloid news angle of everything. You know, the mainstream media is notorious for this. They don't start with the most caring or most endearing stories on the news. No, they start with the most horrible, most devastating. And I understand that that's what sells. I get that. But at the same time, you save it for like the last 5-10 minutes of your broadcast. Oh yeah, by the way, so-and-so donated this to charity, or so-and-so did this charitable event, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, it's one of those things, you know. It is what it is. So, Sawyer's competition in his own party is Melanie Morgan, who's a member of the Franklin Pierce School Board. Morgan has been endorsed by Democrat Attorney General Bob Ferguson, State Rep. Lori Jenkins of Tacoma, and others. Sawyer said he will not drop out of the race. He has raised $88,688 in campaign cash compared to Morgan's $4,789, according to the state's Public Disclosure Commission. Again, it's just good for him for standing up for what he believes in the case of his right to run for office. I'm all for it. Do I think he should maybe not run? Yes. Personally, my opinion, I believe he should not run. Personally, I think he needs to just figure this out, get this figured out, and solve it from there. But that's not what we're going to see. That's not what's going to happen. When it comes to other investigations, you know, against other parties, you know, I would much rather see the investigations start, regardless whether they come from a news story that's about to be published or not. I would much rather see them come from within the House, within the party itself, so to speak, such as House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi is calling for a prompt House ethics investigation into Representative Tony Cardenas of California, also a Democrat of California, on Saturday, following reports that he had sexually abused a 16-year-old girl in 2006. Cardenas vehemently denies the allegation through his attorney. And this is a quote from Nancy Pelosi herself. I have spoken with Congressman Cardenas, and he is appropriately, and not this phrasing here, and he has appropriately asked us to withhold judgment until there is a full investigation of the facts, end quote. That right there is kind of what I'm trying to draw here. People will hear that he is being, that there are allegations that he has sexually abused somebody who's 16 years old 12 years ago. So that makes them 28 today. Now, sexual abuse, sexual misconduct, rape, whatever you want to call it these days, happens. And it shouldn't, but it does. It's one of those I don't understand why there is the need for it. That's why I'm not a psychologist, I guess, but that's fine. But here's my thinking on this. Here's why I'm thinking. I have friends who have been raped, female friends that have been raped. And if they told me that it happened when it happened, knowing them, knowing who they are, I would have believed them 100% and would have went after the SOBs myself. But at the same time, I also served in the military. I understand that people have a certain amount of rights. And one of those rights is that you have the right to a fair trial. Again, innocent until proven guilty. Not a hard concept to understand. But in the face of passion, in the face of things happening to your personal friends and family, you don't think rationally. You don't think that way. Now, the fact that these reports are now coming out 12 years later, or it's just being told about, you know, this many years, 12 years later, that strikes me as odd. Now, again, this could be stemming from the fact that at the age of 16, this young lady mentally wasn't mature enough to understand what was happening to her. And that's the way I lean on these issues. I will believe the victims. I will wholeheartedly believe them. I do have a skeptic nature that where's the evidence on this. If this had happened then, what's to say that, you know, what's to say that this was trauma then, or if it's repressed trauma? And that's where I'm thinking they're going with this, is that it's a repressed trauma that's just come to light for this young lady. And I feel bad for her. I feel horrible for her. And I'm not trying to apologize for himself. But at the same time, the skeptic side of me is like, still, why is it taking her this long to come out about it, you know? Because normally if something like this happens, some other event earlier would have triggered it and why they went to get therapy. Therapy does take time. You know, this isn't, you go sit on a couch for 2 hours and all your problems are solved. The root cause of your problem isn't even solved in the first session. I mean, I know that much about psychology and psychiatry, but at the same time, it's like, as soon as these types of stories hit about men and women, it damages it damages them and their image to a point where politically they have no power, where politically they cannot do their job that they were elected to do. Should he have thought about his actions around this 16-year-old girl at that time? Whether he had ambition or not to run for office? Of course. Should he have known better than to be messing around with a, you know, 16-year-old girl in 2006? Definitely. But at the same time, this is something where maybe now he's just becoming famous because, you know, he's, you know, congressman and he keeps running for election. He keeps getting a government paycheck. Now it's time to go after him for money. That always sits in the back of my mind because while it may not be as often, is the reason why people go after this. There are false claims of rape and sexual abuse in this country. We have to stop those types of inquiries or those complaints being made, but at the same time, we have to investigate them all too, because you know you're not going to find out which ones are actually legit and which ones are false just by somebody saying I was raped or I was sexually abused. You can't do that. I'm a realist. I understand that we have to investigate, but at the same time, we also cannot sit here and expect that these people are guilty automatically. We can't assume that they're guilty automatically. And that's what news media wants you to do. That's what most people want you to do. You know, all men are evil and all men will do whatever they want, et cetera, et cetera. Picking up Nancy Pelosi's quote, "As members of Congress, we each have a responsibility to uphold the integrity of the House of Representatives, and any type of alleged misconduct must be investigated by the Ethics Committee." Congressman Cardenas has said that he will fully cooperate with an ethics investigation. Cardenas identified himself in recent days as the subject of a lawsuit in Los Angeles County. "My client is sickened and distraught by these horrific allegations, which are 100% categorically untrue," Patricia Glazer said Thursday on behalf of Cardenas. "We respect the victims who have found the strength to come forward and call out the misconduct when it has actually occurred, but this type of baseless and reckless accusations that are contained in the complaint against my client can ruin the lives and careers of innocent people." Exactly what I'm saying here. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I know at the same time people are going to come after me and tell me that I am wrong, that you know there wouldn't be these accusations if there wasn't a kernel of truth to it. And maybe, and just hypothetical, I don't know the facts of the case or anything, but let's just say, maybe, hypothetically, he walked into, I don't know, a clothing store where this young lady was working and said, "Wow, you look very beautiful." And that's it. That's the whole story. Well, obviously, that's not exactly sexual abuse. But there are people out there that would tell you that it is. There are people out there that would tell you that anything that a man does towards a woman is automatically meant to be either rape or controlling or et cetera, et cetera. They're few and far between, but there are people out there that would do that to you. I haven't even begun to look for any YouTube stories, any YouTubers such as myself that are covering this. Not news media, YouTube channels, not anything like that, but actual just YouTubers who are of the feminist persuasion, of social justice persuasion, because they're the ones who are most likely going to react as he's evil and he needs to be, you know, done with his career in politics, etc. But at the same time, you have to listen to what his lawyer's saying. Oh, his lawyer's just saying that because she represents him, but she probably still really believes that he's guilty, etc. Be that as it may, if she does believe he's guilty or not, she does have to represent him or choose not to. But it's really comes down to is our willingness to let people have their voice heard. Let people say, "Look, I've been accused of this. This is going on in court. I'm denying these things have happened. Give me the benefit of the doubt." There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, that's how it's supposed to work. But when we hear the news media, when we're going to hear the stories about this in anything that's not trying to be unbiased, that's trying to actually give him a chance to voice what he's saying, it's going to come down to it as, "He did it, he did it, he did it, he did it." Never mind the fact that he might not have ever done anything wrong. We don't know. Again, investigations be done, and I'm haven't had a chance to look for the information because this just came out yesterday. So, politicians in and around the Cardenas district, which is safely Democratic, Hillary, not even to worry about what she carried in that district, have largely been quiet about the allegations. The congressman's Democratic primary opponent called on him to resign, but Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti told reporters that voters need to let the story play out. Again, totally agree. Let the story play out. Benny Bernal, the district's Republican candidate, has made no statements about the allegation. Smart man right there. By not making a statement, this allows him to let the story develop. Let him see what's actually happening. Because if you initially do a knee-jerk reaction, you say something inappropriate, you say something wrong, it can, unfortunately, come back to bite you in the butt. It can actually come back and prove you wrong. Cardenas has been calling colleagues in recent days about the lawsuit and telling them he is innocent, according to a House Democratic aide. The three-term congressman is the chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Political Action Committee. Two other House Democrat aides confirmed that Cardenas has been contacting colleagues about the lawsuit, which was filed on April 27th. And it did not identify him, but he did come out with it, obviously. And that is because under California law, the names of the defendants in child sex abuse cases cannot be disclosed without court approval. And I honestly find that actually comforting. One of the few things that California, I think, has right. Dave might disagree with me on this, but I honestly think that this is great. And if you choose to come out with it as the defendant yourself, I don't think the court should actually come down hard on you about it either, because it's, how do I put it? It's your right to put yourself out there. It may damage you, but it's your right to put it out there. And I don't think the court should have to say anything. Now, the court should, now, with that said, the plaintiffs, the children involved in this, even if they're an adult now, their name should also not be known, just to protect them as well. You know, I would hate to be like, oh, that was so and so, that was a friend of mine, that was a friend of my child, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. The court filing, which was first reported by Los Angeles Times, alleges John Doe met the plaintiff in 2005 at a golf tournament when she was 14 and subsequently became close friends with her family. 2 years later, the documents claimed he fondled her breast and genital while driving her to an emergency room after the two played golf at Hillcrest Community Club in Los Angeles. The girl had, quote, suddenly collapsed to the ground during the golf game after John Doe gave her a cup of ice water that tasted distinctly different from both tap and filtered water, the lawsuit claims. The suit claims that the actions constituted childhood sexual abuse under California law because she was under 18 at the time. The plaintiff has asked for unspecified damages and a jury trial. Okay. All right. And basically, the ending of it is basically the lawyer for Cardenas is saying that he's been a great public service, et cetera, et cetera. And that the daughter is a disgruntled former employee and may be the victim of manipulation, character assassination of the plaintiff. Okay. Now that we've got that settled, I'm not going to brush over it. I will come back to it. But I kind of have to decide here that if he took her to the emergency room while playing, because they were playing golf and she collapsed, because the ice water tasted distinctly different, you know, how does it come across to you as just the average person? What are you thinking of? I hope you're actually, how do I want to say this? How are you supposed to take that as an unbiased person if you don't get to see the rest of it? It's going to be one of those situations where you're going to assume that he's guilty. Now, coming in down here and saying that it's the daughter of a disgruntled former employee, that's where it should have ended. That is where it should have ended. But then going in and saying that she may be the victim of manipulation, now it's like, oh, daddy's threatening to cut off her inheritance or whatever, and whatnot. So how do we go about this? How do we figure this out? As a country of laws, as a country of right to due process, we need to pump the brakes and stop with trying to figure out who's guilty, who's not guilty, instead of trying to figure out in the court of public opinion whether he is guilty or not guilty. We need to stop and let this thing carry out. Let it go to what the judge decides needs to happen. The judge is going to see all the investigation and whatnot. I highly doubt that it has anything from the cop. I highly doubt that there's any forensic evidence that shows that anything happened. And it could just be like like the lawyer saying, the daughter of a disgruntled former employee who's being the victim of manipulation. But again, that's a character, in my opinion, that's character assassination. That's basically saying, well, she can't be trusted because, you know, her mother or her father, who's a disgruntled former employee, you know, is putting her up to this. Well, how is that going to look for her later on down the line? How is that going to look for her in trying to apply for jobs elsewhere, especially where she's going to have male bosses? Oh, but Jay, male bosses don't need to worry about it. I'm like, the heck they don't. If I were, middle management or above boss to women right now, this day and age right now, I'm locking myself in my office and I will be the first in and I will be the last to go, just so that way I don't get accused of anything. And even then, that's even risky because I can say, oh, well, he had me come in after hours, blah, 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 when nobody's there to alibi me, you know. Anything like that, I might as well just have a janitor sit in my office the whole time or pay somebody. No, not even pay somebody. I will have... look at this. It's a no-win situation for any man to be a supervisor of any women. Because in the end, all it takes is one person to be disgruntled to ruin your life. Whether there was anything wrong or not. Now again, I'm not saying that she is the victim of manipulation. And I'm not saying that he is innocent. I just want to be able to see what the record says. I want to see what the evidence is in play. I want to know what is actually going on. But at the same time, trying to put myself in this position, trying to put myself in the position of being around any woman that's younger than me, or heck, even any woman that's older than me, but being in any position where I can be accused of anything, you know? Now, I know at my work, most of the women aren't going to say anything about me at all, but all it takes is for me to say the one wrong thing to a woman, like, I don't know. I mean, seriously, I don't even know. I mean, I'm just totally flabbergasted by the fact that we are, as a society, so quick to judge everybody, that we are so quick to make this out to be, how do I put it? We try to make this out to be a non-issue, but it's still an issue. That's pretty much what I'm trying to say here. It's an issue that needs to be resolved, that needs to be dealt with, but it doesn't need all the public attention that it's going to get, because it's a high-ranking member of society. You know, if this was Joe Schmo neighbor that's been family friends for 20 years, etc., this wouldn't be an issue at all. Well, I mean, let me rephrase that. It wouldn't be the media issue that it is right now. But no, because it's a congressman and this happened 12 years ago, roughly. 11, 12 years ago. And if he did something wrong, by all means, throw the book at him. I don't care. If he's actually committed a crime, then he needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with. Again, same thing with Representative Dave Sawyer here in Tacoma. These people have to be treated with the presumption that they are innocent. And yet, when you get stories like this, no matter how they try to slant it in an unbiased way, there's always going to be a bias that's going to assume that these men are guilty. And I don't care if it's a man or a woman writing it. Most of the mainstream media is, for the most part, very liberal. For the most part, is going to say, you know, that we're, that and so, and under no certain terms is this person guilty. Because again, they're, the quote from the lawsuit, the girl had suddenly collapsed to the ground, end quote. Excuse me, during the game after her getting a cup of ice water that, quote, tasted distinctly different from both tapped and filtered water, end quote. I guess I can't explain it much more than that. It's just, why do we as a society, why do we psychologically get drawn to these types of stories? Why are we always talking about them? And the reason why is because somebody that's socially better than I am is getting knocked down a peg by this lawsuit. Makes me feel better. Not me personally, but you know, etc. Or that's another pig in his place, you know, feminism. You know, because all men are rotten, evil things that just need to, you know, stop breathing. But, you know, it is what it is. I just wanted, like I said, I picked these two stories because it just goes to show that no matter what we do as a society, these are the stories that are going to be the forefront of political news. These are the stories that are going to rock the world. I mean, most of us have forgot. I mean, most of what I've heard on the news lately has forgotten about Donald Trump and North Korea, the North Korean, South Korea summit. It talks about, and it moves on to the next big issue because peace in the world, especially peace in that part of the world, should be a big thing. But, you know, after a while, it's just kind of tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of hearing about it. Well, guess what? It's not done yet. They haven't done anything other than agree to terms, basically. That's basically what the whole ceremony was a glorified, hey, I'm agreeing to stop making nuclear weapons. Okay. Great. We'll get rid of all of our stuff. Great. Yep. But as Dave said earlier in the week, it doesn't matter if you get rid of all that stuff. The knowledge is still there. The knowledge of how to make it, the knowledge of what you had done in the past, is there. Whether you get rid of all the books and papers and materials on it, doesn't matter. It's still knowledge. It's still there. You know, it's like, why do we still know how to farm? I mean, one of the greatest quotes that I hear all the time, because I do watch a lot of videos that take on the flat earth and stuff like that. Some of them are atheists, and this is the point that they make, is that if something catastrophic happened to the human race, where all our technology is gone and nothing, some giant like EMP happens. We start burning books and everything. I mean, we start getting rid of all of this stuff, and we wipe out our entire vastness of knowledge. Even if we stop talking about religion as a whole, like individual religions, Judaism, Christianity, basically all of that knowledge goes away. What's going to happen when it comes time when we start expanding on our knowledge again? We figure out how to write again. We figure out how to do all this stuff all over again. The fundamental laws of physics and science are going to come back to us. But not necessarily the religions are the way that we understand them today. Now, this isn't me knocking on any religion. But I find that fascinating that if you think about it, our society, if it were to basically end, I mean, heck, say something catastrophic happened in the world, where only a handful of people were allowed to continue. Oh, not a handful, but, you know, a few thousand people are allowed to continue in various parts of the world. But all our technology, all our books are gone. All this stuff is gone. And their minds are wiped of all knowledge of anything else. They're basically given just enough knowledge to be able to farm, hunter-gather, and learn to farm again. Think about that. That's just mind-blowing that we would still observe those scientific phenomena. We'd just be rediscovering them. It sucked to live that world. I totally agree. But the fundamental truth is that we have to... The fundamental truth on this tangent that I'm going on is that we're slowly going that way with our slant on the media, with the way the media is slanting us, is no longer do you have the fundamental truth of innocent until proven guilty. No, the court of public opinion is all that matters, not so much the court of law. Person X is accused of Y from person Z or whatever you want. Person X accuses person Y of act Z, whatever you want to call it, you know? It doesn't matter. Whoever's being accused, their life is destroyed at that point. Especially if they're a high-ranking political figure. Especially if they're a popular YouTuber. I don't know how many of you know about PewDiePie. Some of the things that he did, and I will talk about that one on another day. But if you watched any of his stuff before the events of that, and you knew how he was as a person, and then you saw the events that caused the whole PewDiePie thing, you would understand what he was doing was satire, was joke. But then again, at the same time, people are so wound up. And I don't want to say wound up. Some people that weren't even there that weren't directly affected by it get so wound up, so underwear in a bunch type of mentality on this that they think he was being serious and that he totally believes the act he was doing. And then people started making a controversy over it, rightfully so, in my opinion. They made a controversy over it, but they didn't want to hear his side of the story. Nobody wants to hear the side of the accused in anything. Not anymore. Because once you're accused of something, you're done. You're over. Once you're accused of something, you have no ground to stand on as far as society cares, as far as the news media cares. We're so quick to allow the media to cloud our judgment, to allow them to color our opinions on things that, you know, you might as well just give up on trying to do anything. You might as well just give up on trying to appease anybody because you won't. You know, I do know more about the PewDiePie incident than I'm letting on here. Again, it's a video for another time. I may do a separate just video, not This Week in Politics episode dedicated to it. But the whole point is that, you know, we have to, as a society, take that gutter mentality that is our current news media and pull it out of there and say, stop biasing one way or the other. Just tell me what it is. and let me make my own opinion based upon the facts that you can get. Oh, you couldn't get facts? Don't run the story then. It's not that hard. Yes, I understand that journalists are under a deadline. Journalists need to get stories printed because that's how they get paid. I understand that. I respect that. But at the same time, think about what you're writing. Think about what you're saying. And sure as heck should not be biased in your writing. Now, there are plenty, and I mean plenty of journalists out there that don't do that, that actually do it ethically, that do follow up properly. Those journalists are some of the ones that I would, that if I could go shadow them for a day or a week or even a month while they worked on a story and saw how they did their work, I would film it and be like, you know, obviously without, you know, anonymous sources, things like that. But at the same time, we're so quick to get a story out there because, you know, I wouldn't even call it the 24-hour news cycle. I'd call it like the nanosecond news cycle nowadays, that we want to be first to break the stories. We want to be first to do this, that, and the other thing. That we're going to cause, that we're going to basically create the turmoil we're in now as a society with our news. And I just don't get it. I don't see why we all complain about it. But I don't see why anybody doesn't do it. You know, I should stand up and be the first one to do it, I guess. You know, I'm the one calling for it. Why don't I do it? Maybe I should. I mean, I would love. If I could get paid to do this and go show you what they do, I would love it. But the problem is, once they know that I'm there to do it, it's going to be like, oh, well, I'm going to do everything by the book and blah, blah, blah. And it loses its reality of the matter. You know, I would love to just a couple times go and tell and not even have it be like some big name reporter, news anchor or anything like that. I want to go be with a beat writer somewhere. Go do something like that. You know, see how they do it. And then watch over the editors while they're like, literally, I want to follow the story from idea through the research, the writing, the editorial, the revisions, back to the editor, then out to print or onto the airwaves, whatever the case may be. But the overall point of it all, the whole thing about it all, is that I want more people to do their job honestly. I want them to do it ethically. Like the other night, I'm clocked off, pulled my car up to a pump, got out of my car to pump gas, and I found $20 sitting on the fuel pad. I immediately, you know, I went over and dropped off the money at the main grocery store, because our store is locked up and I'm not going back in there just to buy the $20 there. I told them where it was found. I wrote down my little statement, kept it paperclip, put it in the safe in the main store. So that way when the bookkeeper sees it, they know that somebody might be looking for it. Odds are somebody's not going to find it, but aren't going to realize they're missing it right away. And they're not going to think that they dropped it there, but it is what it is. Anyways, it's, you know, long story short, or basically the end of this, that we as a society need to start understanding what it is that we're looking for in our news media, what we want them to be doing for us. How do we want them to represent us in the media? Think of it that way. If you were on the end of being accused of something, how do you want the news media to represent you, the accused? That's what you need to know. This is Jay with Jay's Politics Podcast, Jay's Politics Podcast, part of the podcast on the Internet Radio Network. This has been This Week in U.S. Politics, episode number 12. See you all. Sorry, couldn't resist. Anyways, you can reach me at jpoliticspodcast@gmail.com or directly on Twitter at jpolipodcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. I know it's a little more negative vibes from my point of view, but I really hope that you enjoyed it. Give it a thumbs up, go subscribe, and you'll come check us out over at podcastnerdy9.org, where we have shows going all day, 24/7, and that we also have live shows throughout the week. So I really hope that you'll enjoy it. Hope that you'll listen to it. And have a great, wonderful weekend. Enjoy the rest of your Cinco de Mayo. If you are still celebrating, if you are, be safe.